I want to go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. Last week we talked about faith, the beginning and ending of faith. And we said it this way, faith begins. Where does faith begin? It begins with your knowledge, with your hearing of the word of the living God. It begins by what you know. There's no faith apart from knowledge. You can't have faith in something you don't know, you haven't seen, you don't understand. You know, we were invited to Pioneer Days in a city down the country, and we went and they had wonderful old equipment. I'm not into equipment. I'm not a technical person. You can tell that. And it didn't make any sense to me. And even in spite of the explanation, it does this, it does that, and then it runs over here, and it does this, it does that. You know, now we just push a button. But before they worked things, and they saw things working, things went up and down, left and right. And, you know, that explanation was totally lost on me. I'm just mashed this button and all is well. Well, when you have knowledge, I couldn't run those machines, couldn't operate them. You know, even if they worked today, they would just be lost on me. I have no knowledge, no understanding. If you have no knowledge and no understanding, some things are lost to you. You just have to expect somebody to give you a gift or to come along and do it for you. And I'm for that, if that works for you. But it won't work in the scripture. It might work in your yard. It might work in your house. It might work in your kitchen sink that somebody will come do something for you. But it won't work in the scripture. You've got to do some things for yourself. Pastor can't do everything for you. Your best friend, the person that you revere, can't do everything for you. You're going to have some knowledge. You're going to have some understanding. Now, the good news is it doesn't take a lot of knowledge or a lot of understanding. You don't have to know the scripture from Genesis through Revelation. I'm so glad. You know, I sit often here, when I got born again, John 3:16 was all I knew. I didn't know I was going to have eternal life. I didn't know it was the nature of God. I didn't know I was going to be a new creature. I didn't know old things were going to pass away. I knew God loved me and I was a sinner and I needed Him. That's what I knew. But you have to have some knowledge, some basis, some foundation on which to stand. And the Word of God is always the foundation on which we stand. Now, the Word of God, here's this wonderful verse. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, so it's talking to Christians about relationship, but I'll show you what I want you to see. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You see that the hearing comes before the speaking, swift to hear, slow to speak. Sometimes we're quick to speak, but very slow to hear. I used to tell my children, because one of them is a world champion talker, that God gave you two ears and one mouth, He expected you to listen twice as much as you talk. I'm trying to shut off the faucet of knowledge. Just was a real knowledge, had to know, had to understand, and kept pouring that into me like I had to know and I had to understand, which I don't usually. But you see, it says be swift to hear, quick to hear, quick to hear, quick to hear, quick to hear. Well, you know Romans 10. Turn over there. Faith comes how? Where does faith begin? How are you going to gain knowledge? How are you going to know more? You're going to hear. You're going to hear what God is saying. Now it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's a lot of places there isn't faith. But faith in God comes from hearing what God had to say. You've got to read and hear and study and learn what God had to say. You've got to make it your goal to increase in knowledge. Now here's what I've always done that's helped me so much. When I come to the end of the day, I like to be able to say I did one thing. I don't beat myself over the head because I didn't do two things or three things or four things. If I've done one thing, if I've given one priority to the things of the Lord, then I think I've had a successful day. People get frustrated because they say, I didn't read enough today. I didn't pray enough today. I didn't speak enough today. Whatever it is, don't let frustration get you. Did you do something? Come to the end of the day and say, okay, I read today. Okay, I listened to a tape today. Okay, I prayed today. Okay, I sang to myself today. I do that in my house. It works fine. Wayne said, what do you do today? I said, I brushed the dog. So that didn't take but an hour. I did something, though. Now, if you'd seen my dog, you'd know it took a lot more than an hour. I did something. See, did you do something? Did you do something to enhance what you know about God? Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Now, if we go to Deuteronomy 28, it tells us to hearken diligently. Hearken diligently. That means be a really good listener. You've talked to somebody that's not listening. Maybe you were the one. I was never a very good listener until I met a good listener. She'd call and invite me to lunch, and I thought that was wonderful. And it was a long time, years into our relationship, before I realized I didn't know too much about her, though we had lunch many, many, many times. Because she'd say, how are the children? And I'd tell her. And she'd say, how are your dogs? And I'd tell her. And she'd say, how's your mother? And I'd tell her. And she'd say, how's your daddy? How's Wayne's mother? How's Wayne's daddy? How's the crop coming? And I did all the talking. So I didn't know anything about her. No, it wouldn't matter much what you asked me. I knew she had a couple children. I knew she didn't have to work. Her husband had a good job. But I didn't know too much because I wasn't listening. I was doing all the talking. Well, you've got to spend some time listening to the Word of God and gaining some knowledge. It's knowledge practice that brings you the result you need. You've got to have knowledge because you're going to be a doer of the Word. Hearers of the Word, it says, are deceived. Because you had the facts or data, because you accumulated some knowledge, is not going to make you successful, but it is the beginning point. Faith begins with the knowledge. Faith begins with hearing. Faith begins with growing in God. Faith begins with expanding your heart in the Word of God. Swift to hear and slow to speak. What's first?
Hearing.
What's first?
Hearing.
The hearing is first. Swift to hear. And it says, hearken diligently. Now in Deuteronomy, where it says hearken diligently, it uses the expression to bend your ear. When you bend your ear, it's because you're concentrating. You either have a hearing loss or the person's very soft-spoken, maybe some combination. I had a friend that was very soft-spoken. You'd find yourself getting closer and closer and closer till you're in your face, and then you'd lean this way, you know, trying to hear. Because I didn't want to miss anything she had to say. She's talking to me. I want to be able to correctly respond. I want to take the right action. I want to say, oh, I know that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Oh, how can I help you? But if I don't hear what she has to say, I don't know how to respond. I don't know what action to take. So I'm hearkening diligently. I'm bending my ear. I'm bowing my ear. I'm leaning in her direction. I'm paying close attention. Now, Proverbs 4 says, my son, attend to my words. It means pay close attention. You know how many times you come out of church and somebody said, how was church today? Said, oh, it was great, great. What did you speak on? I was only slightly comforted to know that experts say the latest medical technology say it takes about 2 hours to lodge something in your brain. So I found that a comfort that maybe I didn't have quite enough time to lodge it in my brain. That's why you take a note. You put something on a piece of paper. You say, hey, wait a minute, let me tell you what he preached. You know you don't have to have a sharp memory. Write it down and read it. So he preached on hearkening diligently today from Deuteronomy 28, and it was great. You see, once you have something written down, it'll trigger something else. Then you remember the example that was given by the minister, so forth. You're going to be what? Swift to hear. What's your priority?
Hearing.
You're going to be a great listener to God, a great listener to the Word of God. Now, if you practice that with your friends, you know, people that don't listen to God don't listen to friends either. People don't listen to their friends don't listen much to God. Right. Kind of goes hand in hand. If you're going to be a great listener, practice being a great listener. Go into a relationship, a lunch or something, and make a determination that you're going to get them to do the talking and you're going to be a good listener. And if you've never done that before, it'll give you a headache. You know the song, I tell you, it's been hot on the secular charts. I only know this because somebody told me. It says, I want to talk about me, 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 me. Have you heard that song? It's a great song. So we talked about your job, we talked about your house, we talked about your car, we talked about your kids, we talked about your mother, and I want to talk about me, 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 me. And sometimes that's the way we are. Well, if we do all of the talking, we'll not gain in knowledge. We're going to be diligent what? We're going to bend our ear for what purpose? To hear what God had to say. If we find out what God had to say, we can practice that. We can do that. We can hearken diligently, and then we can be a doer. Now, that's the heart of Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You can't, that means you're speaking it, but you can't speak what you haven't heard. You can't do what you don't understand. So this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate therein day and night that you may what? Observe to do. Observe to do. Do you see that? But it's not just observation, it's observe. The reason you're observing. Now, I'm not against bird watchers, but they're observing for the sake of observation, as far as I can figure out. I mean, once you observe, unless you have a job that requires that data, well, it does bring you great pleasure in that. But there isn't much you can do with that knowledge unless it's job related. Now, when I observe the Word of God, I'm observing because there's a lot I'm going to be able to do with the knowledge I've gained. You know, you watch TV, there's not much you can do with that knowledge. And those heroes aren't coming if you need them. Have you noticed that? Even the ministers on TV aren't coming. If you need them, they're not coming. So you've made an observation. Other than it filled your time, and if you watch some of the technical programs, maybe gave you some additional data. But there's not much to do. But when we observe the Word of God, we hear for what purpose? We hear for what purpose? Not to gain knowledge, not just for information's sake, not just to be able to say, oh, I knew that. Oh, I've heard that scripture. I understand that concept. We're going to do something with the knowledge we have. And we're going to really do something. We're going to live in the Word. You know you can't live anywhere you haven't been. And there's a lot of places I haven't been. I was born in Winter Haven Hospital, so you know I've been here all my life. There's a lot of places I haven't been. And then I can't tell you about them. I haven't been there. There's a lot of things I don't know. Why? I haven't ever had an observation there. I haven't had any hearing there. I haven't done any reading about that. So I just don't know. Someone says, if I want to send this famous minister a birthday present, do you know him? I'd say, sure, I know him. They'd say, well, do you know, what's his favorite color? I said, well, I don't know that. Well, they said, well, give me his address. Oh, sir, oh, I don't know. I think there's an office address on his flyer. Let me see if I have one. So, well, do you know, does he collect anything? I said, no, I don't really know if he collects anything. Well, how many children does he have? I said, well, he has one or two, I know, I don't really know. I said, but you said you knew him. But I didn't. I had seen him. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. Now, I know Wayne Cumby, he has no favorite color. I know his address, how much he weighs, how tall he is or was. Stuff happens. Observation takes time. Hearing takes time. You're going to be a diligent
hearer.
You're going to what?
Hear.
Swift to hear. What's come first, the speaking or the hearing?
Hearing.
The hearing. So if I speak before I hear, what's happening? I'm talking about things I don't know anything about. If you're talking, you haven't heard. What you're saying may or may not be the truth. And a lot of people are talking about God, but they haven't heard anything, they haven't read anything, they haven't observed anything, so what they say is not really the truth. And when I don't hear, I have to repeat what you said, and maybe what you said is not right. That's why I want to hearken diligently for myself. I want to find out for me what's right. I want to go to the Bible myself. Swift to hear. Now, Romans 10, are you there? How are we going to hearken diligently? We're going to listen very, very carefully. And we're going to listen to the Word of God. We're going to listen to men and women who preach and speak the Word of God. And we're going to know in our spirit, man, if they're really telling the truth. You know, the Holy Ghost lives in you, and part of His job is to tell you when somebody's not telling you the truth. It'll work in the Scripture. It'll work on a natural level, just as you go about the community. So then, what do you see it says, so then? Do you know we're in the middle of a thought here? So then? You ever started a conversation? Well, so then. I mean, you know, something's been said, you missed something. So then, faith comes by hearing. You go to verse 8. And you'll find out how so then's connected. The word is near thee. What? What is near you?
Word.
What is near you?
Word.
What is near you? That's the Word of the living God. And you bring it near you. Why? Because you want to hear what it has to say. You know, and what I do, I say, Holy Ghost, you teach me. Holy Ghost, you explain to me. My, if we had revelation of healing. If we saw what we didn't see and knew what we didn't know. See, everybody doesn't see everything or know everything. But the Holy Ghost does, and He's in us. Yeah. And if I draw the Word very close. You know, you don't have diamond rings or wedding rings, diamond rings, diamond necklaces, or even your favorite whatever, topaz, I don't care what it is, and leave it in a box at the house. You want it close, don't you? You want it near. Do you buy those things to wear or to store?
No.
To wear or to store?
Wear.
You draw it near to you, you buy it to wear. Don't you buy it to wear?
Yes.
He said, now the word is what?
Near.
It's not near if you don't bring it near. I know you've tried like I have to bring the word to somebody, bring them what you knew, what you understood, and they won't eat it. You know, you keep preaching, keep telling them, keep talking to them, keep showing them, say, look right here. And they'll say, wow, nice shade of blue paint, isn't it? I love that. You say, no, wait a minute, watch this, look at this verse. How long has it been this color? You can't force it down somebody's throat, though we are going to go into all the world and tell them. We're going to make them refuse it. But you got to bring it near. You bring it near. Wives try to bring the word near to their husband. I know. I know that's for sure. I'm not even guessing. I know that. It's usually the little wife thinking he doesn't read enough, he doesn't pray enough, he doesn't know enough. He's ahead of this household. He hadn't read his Bible all week. And listen, lady, I agree with that. But you'll never get him to draw the word close to him by preaching to him, by hitting him over the head with it. You're going about it wrong. Says, so set an example. 1 Peter 3 says, set an example. Set an example for him. Set an example for him. The other thing I know is that men don't hear and absorb like women. And what women want is the man to respond like she would respond. If a man says, hey, that's good, I like it, she wants him to say, oh, I love that. That is terrific, isn't it? I can't believe that. Look at that, honey, look, look, look. And they're not but one man out of 10 that'll respond that way. You need to know, lady, he ain't going to respond like you want him to. He's going to say, yeah, I read that. That's good. They have to draw the word near. You have to go to the father and say, my children need to read more. My children need to pray more. My children need to walk closer to God. My husband, my wife needs to walk closer to God. My mother needs to walk closer to God. My Aunt Betsy is so far from you. You show her, Holy Ghost. Begin to deal with her. Begin to help her so she hungers and thirsts. I said, make Wayne Cumbie so hungry, he's starving to death. You know what people that are starving to death do? They open the refrigerator. They open and they close. There's nothing in there. And they close it. And 5 minutes later, less than five, sometimes they're back. You ever done that? Open, look in. One mother asked her kid, she said, you know how many times you've opened that refrigerator? Quit opening that door. Why do you keep opening that door? And the kid says, every time I open the door, I lower my standard. He's going to get his standard so low that he can eat something that's in there. That's just a kid talking to you. But you say, Father, Holy Ghost, Jesus, draw them to you. Draw them nearer, nearer. They have to bring the word near. Now, if you don't bring the word near, there's no hearing. There's no hearing. You know, if the word's not near, if your children aren't near, you can't hear them. Sometimes people are talking to me and I can see the mouth moving. I think, I hope I'm not missing anything. Hope I'm not agreeing with anything illegal or immoral. Sometimes they don't have a clue what they said. One man the other day talked very fast and he mumbled. He didn't open his mouth wide, you know, and he said, that's what it sounded like to me. And I thought, oh, my. So you know what I did? I got closer. And I bent my ear and I said, repeat that to me. You know, people don't like to repeat to you, but God doesn't mind. I know they don't because I hear that. I told you that. God will tell you again and again. God's not like people. God's not a man. He should lie. Neither son of man that he should repent. The word is what? Near. Faith comes by hearing. How did you hear it? You were close enough. You were close enough to hear. So I said, I never hear from God. But check when they don't read their Bible either. I don't hear from God like you do. The word is what? The word is what? The word is what? For what purpose? And then once you hear, what are you going to do? You're going to act or respond. You're going to do something with what you hear. You know, your stomach tells you things. Your body tells you things. If you're out working hard, it'll tell you you need a drink of water. Your body just will trigger you. Water! Water! You're thirsty. You need water. And you can stand in one spot and say, I am so thirsty. I desperately need water. Oh, I need water. You got to go to the faucet. You got to get near enough. You got to go to the refrigerator or go to the back door. That's what happens at my house. The back door opens and somebody says, water! You got to get close enough. You can die laying on the edge of the brook. That's good. Are you close enough to hear? Then what you going to do once you've heard? Just going to sit around and say, I knew that. We're going to do something. Now in Joshua chapter 6, let's look at an example. God speaks to Israel about the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho is a very fortified city. The wall of that city was so wide and so strong that they could run chariots side by side, horse-drawn chariots side by side around the city on the top of that wall. It was a tremendous, tremendous structure. Well, God is going to speak. Now, what if Joshua was not listening? He's not going to have the foggiest idea what God wants. God's going to give him directions for success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. And then you shall have what? See, the reason I draw near to the words is because I want to be successful. I want to hear what God says about my body, about my children, about my finances. I want to hear from heaven. So I'm going to bend my ear. I'm going to get really close. I'm going to have the word near. So this is my Bible, and I'm going to come to it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to expect the Holy Ghost to explain it to me. He's the teacher of the church. If Joshua was out, you know, when you have 2 million people, you have things to do. He had a lot of stuff to do. He could have been out doing the stuff instead of listening. Sometimes we're out doing the stuff and we're not listening. But we're what? Swift to hear. Our priority is what? What is your priority for today? What is your priority for every day?
Hear.
And how are you going to hear?
Get close enough.
Get close enough. You want God to have to yell at you? Becky! I said, where is she? I know a man told me he's driving down the highway. He's making a major decision. He had a nickname and a real name. Always used his nickname, didn't like his real name. Says he's driving down the highway, kind of doing his own thing, working, you know, how we do. And he heard somebody call his name, his real name. And he heard it in here in the spirit. You know, God doesn't speak to your ear, he speaks to your heart. But he heard it. He heard the voice in the spirit, which you might hear once in a lifetime or never. But he heard it. So strong, so startling, he pulled off the road. Why God have to do that? Trying to get his attention. He wasn't listening. I had that happen to me only one time. You know, God takes drastic measures when you need them. Some people want to see an angel. Every time they saw an angel, God had to say, fear not now, fear not. Some people want to have a vision or a dream. You go back and see why they had visions or dreams. They were in trouble. You know, if you're going through life and you're reading and you're meditating, the word's becoming clear to you and you're acting, responding on the word, you should be just one happy person. So I didn't get a prophecy. I didn't have a vision. I didn't see an angel. Well, I was mad that day. I was real mad. I don't get too mad. I don't get too mad too often. I do get mad, but not too often. That's a good thing, because I get real mad. And I was just really, really mad, and so I decided I'd just go to bed. It's 8 o'clock. You know, I don't go to bed till midnight. 1 o'clock. That's my bedtime. 8 o'clock. I'd had it with life. I just had totally had it. And I said, I'm going to bed. And I went to bedroom, and I slammed the door. That's how mad I was. And I'm laying there, can't go to sleep. It's 4 hours before bedtime. And I'm thinking, pondering. He said, and she said, and he said, and how dare they, and you know how we do. And I heard my name, Becky. Heard it loud. Well, I thought, Suzanne must need me. Got across the hall, she's sound asleep, and then it dawned on me. She's never called me Becky in her entire life. We didn't ever allow that. I don't know why at the spur of the moment it didn't dawn on me. Until I looked at her, saw her was asleep, I thought, well, I know she didn't call me. She would never have called me by my first name. Well, I went back to the bedroom, slammed the door, went back to my meditating. He said and she said, Becky! And then it dawned on me that the voice was in here, that it was the Lord. Well, he didn't have to give me any explanation. I'm pretty strong, pretty smart. I got up out of that bed. I said, I need to go to the phone. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to make an apology here. I'm going to straighten this out. Sun was going down on my wrath. And God seeing it was going to do damage to me. It was going to do damage to me. But he had to holler at me. He had to speak loudly. He had to use drastic measures. Why? I wasn't close enough to hear. I wasn't near enough. I let anger get between me. It caused distance between me and the Bible, me and my God. You know, people get angry, they are offended, they back up. You don't come anymore. No, see, get in there, get real close. So just when he whispers your name, or whispers, you hear that. There's an Old Testament scripture that's wonderful about God being in whispers. Whispers. So he wasn't in the wind, though sometimes he is in the wind, but in that case he wasn't. He was in the still, small voice. How are you going to hear that voice? What's the purpose of the voice? To give you knowledge or information? So that you'll be wiser? So you'll have wisdom to act upon. So you'll know what to do. Now God's going to speak to Joshua, but Joshua heard. God is going to tell Joshua to dream the impossible dream. Walls are coming down. You can't just... This is a big wall. We could have brought all the equipment we got in Lakeland, not been able to knock that wall down, except for taking weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Inside that wall was constructed, it should have fallen in one direction, and so God being God, he caused it to fall in the other. And when they excavate and find that, they can't believe it fell that way. They think, how in the world did that happen? See, Joshua heard. Now God's going to give an impossible instruction. He's going to give an impossible task. He's going to tell Joshua to do something that's going to bring a result that only heaven can bring. And that's what people need sometimes. They need a result that only heaven can stir up for them. And God said to have the people walk around the wall one time. Now look at Joshua. Are you there? I want to read you a verse. 6 days they're going to go around one time. Oh, thank God Joshua was close enough to hear, close enough to hear, close enough to hear. You know, if you have to, Sunday morning comes, you think, oh, where's my Bible? I've got to find my Bible. And you hadn't seen it since last Sunday, you're in trouble. If that's the case, you need a car Bible and a house Bible. If you're going to leave it in the car, get you one to leave in the house. Because you've got to be close enough to hear, because you're going to act or respond. Joshua's success, Israel's success, was she heard and obeyed. She heard and she obeyed. She heard and she obeyed. Well, 6 days they're going to go around the city. They're going to put the military men in front, then they're going to put the trumpeters, the priests that blow with trumpets, then the Ark of the Covenant, and then the people behind, and go around 6 days. And this is what Joshua commands in verse 10, the people. Joshua commanded the people. This is not a suggestion. You get that? You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then you shall shout. What's the first thing in obedience to the word of God? It's what? Hearing. It's what?
Hearing.
It's what?
Hearing.
Hearing. And every time I read, I'm hearing from heaven. Now they're going to walk around that city 6 times. Joshua said, and do not say a word. But the 7th day, they're going to go around. And when they finish going around more than once, the walls are going to come down. And they're going to go in and take the city. That's their entrance into the promised land. That's the beginning of what God had promised them. He had promised them a land with milk and honey, and that's the beginning. But they couldn't have taken the city without heaven's instructions, and they couldn't have had heaven's instructions without somebody hearing what God had to say. Somebody's got to hear. Now, God doesn't want to speak to me about your life. He wants to speak to you. He does speak to others about you that he knows will be confidential and will help you. He's not going to tell brother and sister blabbermouth. If they blab and they know everything about everybody, you can know they didn't get a lot of it from God, because God doesn't speak to blabbermouths. You just write that down that I said it. But God tells people that are confidential. But he didn't want to tell them first. He wanted me to be close. He wanted me to come in and listen and get his instruction. Do what he... Do. Say do.
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 You can't do unless you know what to do. You know why you haven't done anything yet? Most of the time people don't know what to do. There are things that people know what to do, they just are procrastinating. But a good percentage of people, they would have done something. They would have solved their problem. They didn't know how. Now what does God say about healing? Have you heard? Look at Isaiah 53. So you've got to hear it. You've got to hear it. I didn't hear about healing until I was 30. I didn't have a clue God healed today. Somebody asked me. And I said, well, I don't know. You know what I said? I said, do we know that? I didn't have any idea. I had never heard. Never heard. Isaiah 53. See, once you hear, then you're on tap to talk. Swift to hear, slow to speak. First, listen, 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 and then speak. Don't speak before you hear. Verse 1, chapter 53, who hath believed our report? That word report means hearing. If you have a Bible with marginal words, does anybody have one of those? Gives you other words that mean the same thing. It says, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our doctrine? Who's listening? Who's believed our hearing? Who's listening? God's going to talk about the death and resurrection of the Lord. He's going to talk about freedom from sin, freedom from sickness. And he said, who's listening to this report? Who's listening? Who's listening? And then he says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is the power, the strength of God. You know who the arm is revealed to? See, those questions go together. To the one who's listening, the one who's hearing, the one who has the report. He says, who's listening? Who's got this report? To whom is the arm, the power, the strength of heaven revealed? It's revealed to the man with the report. You know why we didn't have healing power in our household? We didn't know there was any. We saw there had been. We didn't know it was working today. We weren't hearing. We weren't hearing. Is that the will of God? Did I be dumb? That we be dumb? That we be sick? See, people get sick, they blame it on God. But it wasn't his fault. If he'd say you weren't, but you weren't listening. But you weren't listening. Now look back at Romans 10, because this question is repeated in Romans 10. It's in verse 16, just above the verse we quoted. Verse 16 says, they've not all obeyed. To obey is to take action based on what you know. You heard something, you know something, now you do that. He says, they've not all obeyed. Well, when they found out they didn't obey, he says, but Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's the verse we just read. He said, they didn't obey. Did they get the report? He assumed if they didn't obey, they must not have had the report. But they did have the report. You remember Israel came to the promised land, Numbers chapter 13, sent over the spies and decided we can't do it. God said, I've given you the land. He said it to Abraham. He said it to Isaac. He said it to Jacob. He said it several times to Moses. Moses repeated it to Israel. They knew what God had said. So the next question is, haven't they heard? That's verse 18. What's the answer? Did they hear? Says they did. Well, what went wrong? See, hearing is the beginning, but it's not the beginning and the end. They heard. God said, I'm giving you the land. They got there and they said, giant's too big, city's too tall. And it says, we are in our sight as grasshoppers, but you're not supposed to be in your sight. You're supposed to be according to his sight. So didn't they hear? Yeah. See, it's hearing and doing. It's observation. It's a gaining of knowledge. For what purpose? To do. Now look at Acts chapter 10. You know why Cornelius wasn't saved and his household wasn't saved? He didn't know anything about salvation. He did know God. He did know prayer. He did understand giving. But he didn't know Jesus. See, God loves us so much. He wants us to hear. If he can just get us to bend our ear, just get us interested in growing in him, get us interested. What if there's something about your body that if you heard that and made that little bitty change? A lot of times that's all it is. Little bitty change if you only knew it. Or just a thread of understanding if you only knew it. See, God's not keeping it from you. He's trying to get across to you. He'll say, submit yourself to God. When you submit to somebody, you're listening. You can't submit to somebody and not listen, then you won't know what to do. Servants, household employees are supposed to be listening. How are they going to know what you want them to do if they're not listening? Well, Cornelius says, he knows about God. We have that in verse 1. He knows about giving, verse 2. He does about prayer, but he had a vision. And God gave him this vision to get through to him. In verse 6, he tells him to send for Simon, a tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Why hadn't he done the right thing? He didn't know to do it. Oh, God loves us so much. He said, you send for Peter. He's at Simon's house. He'll tell you what you ought to do. I just love that when God tells. You know, when God, a lot of times he tells us what we ought to do, you know what we say? Are you sure? Are you kidding? Then we're reluctant. No, no, no. This is what we've been listening for. You don't think Joshua thought marching around the city of Jericho? Oh, sure, that'd work. Oh, yeah, I know that'd work. He didn't have a clue that'd work. That's not going to work. I mean, just don't care how technically minded you are. It's not going to work. But by the power of God. But who's heard the report? Where's the power of God come? To the man who's heard the report. Joshua heard the report. Because he acted on the report, the power of God came, the walls came down. Now he's going to send for Peter. Cornelius is going to send for Peter. Peter's going to come. Look at verse 22. Peter said, What do you want? What'd you send for me for? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that fears God, good report among all the nations. You see, the fact that he reverenced God is not enough. The fact that he had a good report, that he was a good man in the community, it's not enough. He's got to have Jesus as Savior and Lord. Was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into his house into what? Hear words. Hear words. Hear words. Hear words. Hear. What does Cornelius need? He needs to hear. Now you look over at verse 33. Immediately I sent to thee, thou hast well done, thou art come. Now therefore we are all present before God to what? To hear all things. How many things? That are commanded thee of God. To hear. Now the whole household was saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and then baptized in water. Why? How did it begin? But what if he heard, had that vision heard, sent for Peter and he didn't do it? He said, you know, this is not a good day. All the servants are busy today. All the soldiers are busy. We've got an assignment. We've got a lot to do today and we just can't do that today. See, when he heard, he what? Oh, I don't know why. We live our life to hear, and then when we hear, we draw back. We say, oh, no, I don't think so. Once he heard, he knew there was something he didn't know, something he didn't understand. Now, they're going to call Peter on the carpet because they didn't have a clue Gentiles and Samaritans could be saved. They didn't know. They thought salvation's just for the Jew. 10 years have come and gone since a resurrection, ascension of the Lord, and they still hadn't figured out salvation's farther than the Jews. So they called him on the carpet. What do you think you're doing down there? He said, you're not even supposed to be in the household. And this is what he said, verse 13 of the next chapter. He said, he showed us how he'd seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall what? Tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. He said, you need words, you need words, you need words. You need words. So you've got to hear. What's God saying to you? I don't know. What's God want you to do? You know, if I don't know something, I know I need to draw closer. The word is nigh. The word is nigh. The spirit is nigh. If I don't know, if you ask me something, I have to say, I really don't know. What are you doing? I really don't know. What do you think you'll do? I really don't know. Then I know that I know that I know that I need to draw closer. I need to take extra time to draw closer. If there's something I don't know, if things aren't working out for me, if I've been believing God for 5 years and I'm still sick, there has to be something I don't know. There has to be something I need to hear. And I would do a disservice to you if I didn't tell you that. Something is missing. There's a missing key. My mother called one day. You know, you've heard the famous lima bean story. She locked herself out of the house. She's cooking lima beans. And she says, would you bring your key? I'm about 10 minutes away. Bring your key. Open the front door. I said, I don't have a key. She said, your daddy gave all of you children a key. There are three of us. I said, no, I know I don't have a key. I've never used a key to the house. I always used a spare key. She said, well, I know you have a key. I said, where's your spare key? She said, what's in the house? This is good. Well, I said, I'll call my sister. I'll go down, get her key. But by the time I got there, Mother had the neighbor take the door off the hinges. And I got looking at my key ring. Well, I have two key rings, and I have a key ring of spare keys. And here's Suzanne's key, and here's Joel's key, and here's Joel's truck key, and here's Suzanne's. You know, and I thought, well, what is this key? I wonder what this one is. So I went, I said, I'll take all these keys to Mother's front door. And I went, click, 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 I'm in. Had the key all the time. Had the key all the time, but I didn't know it. You know why I didn't do the right thing? I didn't know the right thing. And all that time, see, the Holy Ghost is in me. He's full of truth. He's the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom within me. He knows exactly what I need to know. He wants me to listen to him. He wants to point me in the right direction. What he says to me may not be what he says to you. You know, he may say, you need more water. Somebody else, he said, you need more milk. You know, the scripture talks about milk and buying milk without price, but it talks about the water of the word as well. He may say to you, you need bread, bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You need bread. Because he knows where you are and what you need. He sees a victory out there, and he wants to you to hear from him and do so he can walk you right to that victory so you can hold hands with victory. You can hold hands with victory if you can hear. Yes. Let me ask you a dumb question, but can you hear? Yes. Are you deaf? Yeah. You can hear, can't you? Yes. How are you going to hear? Start listening. Swift to hear. Start listening. Now, am I listening or talking? Right now, am I listening or talking? Am I listening or talking? Okay. You know, a lot of people are talking and they say they're listening. They say, hey, God, you know what? I just don't know what I'm going to do here. And you know what Mama did? And you know what Aunt Bertha did? And you know what Bobby did? You know, I got up in the car, I went crazy, and I couldn't go to Bobby's house. And then, you know how Bobby, you know how sick he is. God, you know, I had that surgery, you know, he's not doing very well. And they say, well, I was listening to God, didn't hear a thing. I know that's what they do. I'm not telling you. I think that's what do I know. You know why you didn't hear? You weren't listening. You were talking. You know the difference in listening and talking?
Yes.
What comes first?
Listening.
Listening is done with your mouth or your ears?
Ears.
Now let's look at one more example. Acts 14. I open my Bible and I read a minute. And then I just sit. Just sit there. I look at it again. I read till I find a spot that kind of pulls on my heart, you know. You know, you can tell when you're hungry and you can tell when your heart's working. Mm-hmm. This morning I was hungry. About 10 o'clock I thought, you know what, I'd really like something to eat before I left, but I didn't have time. I knew I was hungry. I don't know, I wonder if that's hunger. No, it was hunger. I knew what it was. I knew what it was. Well, see, you can get so acquainted with your spirit man, with the man on the inside, you know what's that you think. So you come down, you read, you come down to a verse, and your heart begins to respond, begins to call to you, begins to say, great verse, would you like that? See, and then shut your mouth and listen. Now, I'm not listening for words out here somewhere. I'm not looking for handwriting on the wall. I'm not looking for an angel. I might see one. I'm not looking for one. I'm not looking for a vision. I might have one, but I'm not looking for one. On the inside, I'm responding to heaven, and heaven's responding to my hunger and my desire to know. And on the inside, an idea, sometimes it just appears. It just appears. It doesn't have to be a voice. Well, here's a man that's lame, crippled. Verse 7, there they preached the word, and there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same what?
Heard.
He what?
Heard.
Was he listening?
Yes.
Is healing part of the gospel? Had to been, it says they were preaching the gospel. The same heard, who steadfastly, this is Paul, steadfastly beholding him, perceiving he had faith to be healed. Now this is so interesting. Where did he get the faith from?
Hearing.
Where does faith come from?
Hearing.
So where did he get the faith from?
Hearing.
And he does have faith. Did it say he had faith? He had faith, yet he can't walk. He does have faith for healing, but he's not healed. Do you see that? He has faith for healing, but he isn't healed. Well, thank God for men of God to help you. Paul came along and saw that he had faith, saw that the man has faith, saw that the man does believe, saw that his heart was full of life, saw that the power of God had come. So what did he say? Get up! Arise! What did he lack? He had heard. What's the purpose of observation? To do. He heard about healing. He just need to get up. Just need to get up. Well, healing's not based on a feeling. It's not that he felt like getting up. If you've heard anybody's testimony, 9 out of 10 didn't feel anything at all or didn't feel any different. They just knew, well, I must be healed, and they got up. Get up. Get up. Get up. I heard one person talk about The Lord had told them to make some, somebody had suggested that they make some changes, and they meditated and pondered it and realized that it was the Lord. You know, God uses other people in our life. A lot of times it's because we're not very good listeners. Not always, but some of the time. So she pondered and realized that this is the Lord. This is the Lord. I must do this. But then she realized she'd never done this before. And she began to say, she began to back up and retreat. Well, finally somebody came along and knew what was happening and said, "Just do it, do it." And said she took one bold step forward and the power fell on her. Who hath believed our report, and to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's to the man that's hearing and acting on the report. The minute she took action, and she said, I loved it. She said, what freedom. What freedom. What freedom. See, it looked like bondage. It looked like a strange thing. It looked like, well, we've never done that before, and we don't really want to do that, and she's backing up. But when she finally, somebody said, just do it. And she stepped forward, did what was necessary. She said, well, what freedom. That's her very words. What freedom. But wasn't it she felt like doing it? It wasn't that it looked like a good idea to her. Just like walking around the walls of Jericho, that's not a good idea. Humanly speaking, that's dumb. But God had spoken. They heard from God. And Cornelius heard from God. This man heard, but he didn't act. Now look at Luke. Luke 5:15. So much the more went their fame abroad of Jesus, great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. They came for what purpose?
Hear.
See, if you don't hear, you won't be healed. Now, God heals some people by the gifts, but most people are healed through faith. 9 out of 10 people are going to get their healing through their faith in God. And faith requires hearing. They came to hear. If you don't hear, you won't be healed. I remember Wayne and I, the children, went to a big meeting. We actually just went to get in the prayer line. I was young in the things of God. I thought I knew a lot, and I wasn't too interested that day. It was raining. I was cold. We'd gotten wet going into the building. We ended up under air-conditioned vent, and I'm just waiting on. I'm not listening at all. I have no idea what the preacher preached. If I searched my memory and searched my heart and asked the Holy Ghost, I still wouldn't know because I was not listening. I'm just waiting for that. I got my card. I'm waiting on that prayer line. And so the date that finally came, you know, but we didn't get anything. You know why we didn't get anything? Why no power fell upon us? We didn't hear. And we didn't come to hear. It's not that we were listening and we didn't understand it. We didn't even try to listen. We were cold and we were wet and we were hungry and we did not listen and we did not receive. Now this is repeated in Luke 6, so that you'll get it. It's in verse 17. They came down with him, stood in the plain, the company of the disciples, a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to what? To hear him and be healed of their diseases. What's first? The healing?
Hearing.
What's always first?
Hearing.
What's first every time?
Hearing.
And then what?
Doing.
Doing. Do something. Do something. Now, if I had a bill to pay, I didn't have the money. First of all, I hear what God has to say. I take time to go to the scripture and read, my God shall supply all your need, given it shall be given unto you. Whatever scripture, financial scripture you like. I read that and read that and read that and read that. I don't assume. I know those scriptures. I've got them memorized. I could quote them. But I take time because I'm a visual person to put them in front of my eyes. And over and over again, say, my God will supply all my need. He said, if I'd give, it's given unto me. He said, those that give bountifully would reap bountifully and with blessings. And I've given bountifully. Bountifully is not in dollar amount. It's by percentage. If a dollar is all you've got, you gave 100%. You gave bountifully. And see, then I'd hear and hear and hear. Now, once you hear, you've got to do something. What am I going to do? Because you can't mail a check if there's no money to cover it. I write that check. I put it in the envelope with the paperwork. I close that envelope. I address the envelope. I put the stamp on it. And then I put it in a secret place so that nobody will accidentally mail it. And every time I come, I put my hand on that envelope. Every morning I open that drawer, put my hand on that envelope and said, this money's going to be here before the due date. This money's going to be here before the due date. I'm acting on my faith. I'm doing something that says, Lord, I believe. Amen. Now what can sick people do? A lot of times their confession is all they can do. Their worship and praise is all they can do. But it'll be enough. It'll be more than enough if you'll do it. A friend of mine wrote this song, never can remember all of it, but every it just triggers, it came to my spirit. Have you talked to your Father today? Have you taken the time to pray? So what do I do? I don't know what to do. I told you what to do. Listen. Hear. Read. And then obey. It's not swift to do and slow to hear. People that say, I don't know what to do, have skipped over the hearing. They want to get to the doing part today. I want to do something. I want to do it now. I want to write something, go somewhere, stand something, take something, see somebody. No, it's not swift to do. It's not first to do. If you don't know what to do, you hadn't heard enough. First to hear, say that. First to what?
First to hear.
Now see, everybody's equipped to hear. You got two ears. And that you can be deaf and still hear from God because he's going to speak inside. It's not physical hearing. You can have an entire orchestra of sound in your life if you'll hear. Now, if you don't hear good in the morning, don't even try. Right. Oh, please, we're all different. My vision, my physical vision is not clear when I get up. I don't know why that is. I don't see well. To open my Bible and read early in the morning tortures me. But I pray pretty good in the morning. I do my reading in late afternoon or evening. Do what works for you. What I do may not work for you. You're not copying somebody else. You've got to have a time to what? Hear. A time to what?
Hear.
A time to what?
Hear.
If that didn't work for you at 8 o'clock, one person works shift work, hears better at midnight, fine with me. But you've got to have time to what?
Hear.
Time to what?
Hear.
What's first?
Hear.
And then, after you hear, what?
Do
what you know to do. Do. Say hear.
Hear.
And be healed.
Hear.
Hear. And be healed.
Hear.
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 Here's what we do. We go over here and this one prays for us. And this one's coming to the big convention center. We go over there. And they pray for us. One lady, I read her testimony, been prayed for by every well-known minister on the planet. She'd been here, she'd been there, she'd done this, she'd done that. She stood in this line an hour to get a seat over here. She was first to do. She was a doer. She was first to do. And when you're first to do, what happened to her?
Nothing.
She didn't ever get a thing. She got nothing, nothing, nothing. She was this minister. Great power flowed through him. And great power flowed through this one. And marvelous things were happening over here, but she didn't get any of it because she was a doer and not a hearer, and she went to do, to be and to do, but she did not hear. First to hear and then to first to hear. You can't rise and be healed apart from a gift of God until you
hear.
Until you what?
Hear.
Until you what?
Hear.
So when are you going to hear? 8 o'clock? Noon? 6? Midnight? Does it matter?
No.
So I'm a hearer.
I'm a
hearer. And a doer.
And a doer.
I'm first to hear.
Quick to hear.
Quick to hear.
Quick to hear.
Shh. I'm going to hear and be healed. This is my year to hear what I didn't hear before. What I don't know now. I'm going
to hear and know.
Oh, we thank you, our Father, how clear your word is to our heart today. How simple you made it. Just sit and listen. Just sit and listen. We can sit and watch TV. We can sit and listen to the radio. We sit and listen to the children. We sit and help them with their homework. We need to sit with heaven. We need to sit with heaven. It needs to be a priority. We need to have single eyes, eyes so focused on you. You're a great, big, wonderful God. You want every single pain, every single dilemma, every single trauma in this room to dissipate, disappear, and cease to exist. It's not your will that anybody be sick, that anybody be in pain. Now, I thank you. As they hear on an individual level, oh, we hear corporately and it's wonderful. We get in with the group and that works. But we thank you that we can hear as an individual, that you can speak to our heart, that I know what you're saying to me about me. And I respond to that. I do something about that. I'm not going to be reluctant. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to be hesitant. I'm going to know this is my sheep, know my voice. Father, and I know everyone in here, they know your voice. They're not going to do something dumb or weird. They know your voice. They know your voice. They know you. And they're going to hear from you and respond. And this is their year. So this is my year. This is my year. This is it. This is it. This is it. Oh, amen and amen.